let Scott walk in. We've been waiting for him to join us.
All right. 7:01, now's as good a time as any to start the February 5th edition of the Design Review Board. I call this meeting to order. Can we start with, roll call before minutes.
Carolyn Adams. Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan. Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here. All right. First item on the agenda is reading and approval of the minutes. Has the board had a chance, everyone, to take a look at them? Any discrepancies or anything that we'd like to discuss or bring up?
I did notice the December 18th, just top of page 2 on it, the Aegis Living. The approval, I believe, the no votes were me and Brad rather than Scott. Is that correct, Scott? You voted yes on that, correct? Yes. So just swap Scott out and Brad in for the no votes. That's all I saw. Other than that, I looked through the minutes and didn't see anything else.
Yeah, nothing else jumped out at me.
Okay.
So apart from the one correction that Tim noted, any other objections to approving the minutes?
Move approval.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Minutes approved. Tonight's agenda, we just have one item, I believe, conceptual design conference for 312 Central Way. But before we jump into the project, now's a great time to take any requests from the audience that aren't on the agenda tonight. All right. If there's nothing from the audience on non-agenda items, we can jump into the conceptual design conference.
Thank you. Tony Levitt with the Planning Department. Again, yes, this is for a conceptual design conference for the 312 Central Way project. Again, the site is located at 312 Central Way. Currently, the site contains a Wendy's restaurant with surface parking lot. To the east of the site is the Capri Apartments building, which was developed a few years ago and reviewed by the board. To the south is Peter Kirk Park. To the west is a two-story office and retail development. And to the north is a mix of multifamily and a single family residential. The properties at 301 to 307 to the north there are currently being developed with six detached multifamily units. So the applicant is requesting to construct a four-story LEED Platinum certified mixed use building that will include two levels of below-grade parking. The street level will consist of commercial spaces, residential lobby amenities, and a garage entrance to the building. Above that will be three levels of residential units and associated amenities. And access to the site will be taken to and from Central Way. Some of the key zoning regulations that you'll want to keep in mind as we review the project. The applicant... So as far as permitted uses, the applicant is proposing ground floor retail and residential lobby. The DRB has the authority to allow residential lobbies on the ground floor subject to specific design guidelines. As far as setbacks are concerned, there is a minimum 20-foot front yard setback along Central Way. One-story retail is allowed to go up to zero setback. but any portion above the street level must be set back the 20 feet. There are no setbacks for the side property or rear property lines, and no setback from Third and the alley. The DRB does have the authority to approve a request for minor variations from the required setbacks in the upper stories. As far as height is concerned, the maximum height is 41 feet above the average building elevation. Additional height is allowed for peaked roof and parapets. Staff did review the applicant's proposed design. One issue that we did find was the proposed rooftop appurtenances on top of the building. They're proposing amenity up there. Unfortunately, our code does not allow for amenities on the roof as it currently stands. We do allow for appurtenances, and those are defined as HVAC equipment, elevator equipment, roof access stair enclosures, and similar equipment. So just wanted to point that out. Additionally, the applicant is required to provide a 15-foot landscape buffer along the north property line. This is due to the fact that it is adjoining a multifamily residential zone there. So a 15-foot landscape buffer is required along that property line. A modification would be needed to reduce that. They did note that in their plans. That would be up to staff. That would not be reviewed by the board. Finally, parking. I did make a mistake in my staff report. I had the old parking regulations in there. The new parking regulations require 1.2 to 1.8 stalls per unit, depending on the unit type. Guest parking is 10% of that total. And additionally, they'll be required to have one stall per 350 square feet for the retail. Some of the key things we want to look at tonight. So we're going to want you to have a discussion on, or what are some of the key advantages of the project. Identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing. Possible techniques can include vertical horizontal modulation, corner treatment, and roof forms. We also want you to provide some feedback on the proposed upper story setback reductions that the applicant has proposed as part of their preferred massing concept. We'll also want to have you look at how does the proposed massing location structure relate to the pedestrian environment. What if any are there opportunities for pedestrian oriented spaces at the street level, i.e. plazas, outdoor dining? What are some of the key pedestrian connections, and how would the project engage pedestrians? And finally, as far as landscaping, we're going to look at, besides the required landscape buffer, what are some other opportunities for landscaping on the subject property? So tonight we're looking for you to provide guidance on the preferred design concept, provide any feedback on how the design guidelines apply to the proposed development, and determine what models, drawings, etc. you would like to see the applicant provide for the design response conference application. And with that, that is the end of my presentation. Any questions?
Yeah,
sure.
Tony, where does it say if you go retail to the street, uh-huh. then you go up one story and you've got to go back 20?
So
how do you see that in this report?
Yeah, it's in the zoning chart, which I think was attachment 3 of the staff report. It outlines the zoning regulations.
I couldn't find it in there, and I was interested in that because I'm also interested in knowing whether that same rule applies in CBD 8, for instance, which is next door. If you go along the north side of Central Way, mm-hmm. is that a guideline for that?
I can't speak to the CBD 8. But as far as this zone is concerned, so what you'd want to look at is in attachment 3, it is special. What's that? I think I have an attachment 3 too. Yeah, because I have the attachment 3 has ours.
Right.
Yeah. And so it was under retail. Let's see here. It's special regulation 5. The required front yard for this use shall be 0 feet for one story at street level. No parking may encroach into the required 20 front yard.
Could you tell me which page that is?
Yeah, it's 31 of the packet, so.
Oh, under retail, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Is that where we get to CBD print? So that building that's existing is 2407, but it's not residential.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to find out if there is a modification.
Yeah, that one's been, was it? Okay, yeah, we could look at that for a future, but yeah, that was a long time, that was built pretty long ago too, yeah, so, yeah.
And then the other thing is the alley. It's a little unclear to me whether the alley is in place or it's being extended.
It's actually, so if you look at this here, so the alley ends roughly, I believe, at like the 319 building there. And so as part of this development right here, they are actually improving that alley and connecting up to that existing alley that comes down there.
And so is that a public alley?
Yeah, yeah, it'll be a public.
So would this project have the
opportunity to be? It would. I think there's some grade issues that basically, because you start getting up into the residential portion, and so that's, I think it would be difficult to utilize that. But.
So, Tony, the current cut that's there now, is that the alley that's been exposed?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know, you know, my assumption is there'll be utilities in there and that kind of thing, but that's roughly where the okay. alley location will be.
Because so. 307, what is that, 303 and 318?
Yeah.
Those get garage access low, and then the upper three get it off of 4th Avenue directly. Is that right?
I don't think so. I think actually everything's coming off of 4th Avenue.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm not sure it on is. The exact yeah. site okay. sightline.
But the alley's private, right?
No, it's a public alley.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it'll be okay. A public alley. Yeah, as you can see right here, I mean, this is showing property lines, so that just shows the alley. So that's part of this project. Their Public Works is requiring them to improve that alley. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's, I think, the issue. There's
I'm pretty sure I landscaped the 319 building, and I don't think the alley goes behind there. It's a steep.
Is it still there? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I thought they had a little bit of access, but maybe it might end at 325 there. So it's one of those two. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I will pass to the applicant.
Good evening. My name is Gary Barber. I'm the project manager for Graphite Design for the project. Thank you for your time this evening. And I just wanted to make a quick introduction. Really, Tony has really explained the scope of our project, 312 Central Way mixed use. I want to introduce the team members we have here. Brian Oakes, who's behind me, will be speaking regarding the design. He's our project designer with Graphite. Martin Hill, principal in charge of the project, is over here. Michael Medina, another principal with Graphite, is also here. And representatives from Henbart, Mark Craig, president of Henbart Development, and Anthony Jansen are here. And Sean Mallon, our civil engineer. This mixed-use project is, as Tony said, three floors of residential apartments over street front retail. Over two plus levels of underground parking on a site that's roughly 31,000 plus square feet. We're in the neighborhood of 185,000 gross square feet of development area. And with that, I would like to turn the remainder of the time over to Brian Oakes, who will walk through a short design slide deck and explain some of the aspects of the design.
Okay. Hello, Brian Oakes. I've been working with the team for the last 3+ months in coming up with some design solutions for this project, and we're really excited to show this to you this evening. I was under the impression I have 10 minutes, so I was going to blast through this. So the slide deck that you will see up in front of you here is not the one that you have in your hand. I consolidated some of those images and had a couple more slides to help promote the design narrative I was trying to grab tonight and give that a little bit more oomph than what you have currently in your design package in front of you. So to start off, with every good project, there has to be a good set of project goals. And what we're showing here, I've bracketed these into three categories: the program, the site, and the aesthetic. And bringing components of all of those together, you can come up with a very good design solution. We can get into the individual bullet points if we need to later on, but again, for expediency's sake, I was trying to get through all this presentation in a reasonable amount of time. But also, with every good project you have to have a good project story. And so I wanted to change the lens at which you looked at these projects instead of the program, the site, and the aesthetic or the look. I wanted to think about it as the what, the where, and the wow of the project. And if you pull those components together in a narrative, you can come up with a very good design story, which I think we have. So what is this project? In simplest of terms, I wrote down a design statement here for each one of these. It's a diverse and environmentally sensitive mixed-use project integrated into the neighborhood and community. Things to note, the longevity, quality and longevity bullet point at the top there. Want to bring that to light, that Himbart has a consistent history of having long-term holds in their projects, and having investment into the community and the neighborhood is something that they value very, very highly. So that would also be pertaining to this project. Roof terrace, a connecting stair. We'll get into a little bit more of that talk later in the wow of the project. Move on to the where. So it is a corner lot, and with a little bit of work, we're going to make it have ground level activity, which enhances the walkability along through 3rd Street and Central Way. Again, the points to note, the neighborly engagement, the integration, walkability are some of the things we're absolutely going to insist on in this project as we develop it further. But also an idea of missing teeth. Talk about that in a slide from now. As you've seen this before, you see how the site sets in the context of this specific area of Kirkland, and to the south and to the west, more of the urban downtown center of Kirkland, and to the north, more of the single-family residential and some of the multifamily residential. It's an interesting site in which it's right in the collision point of those two components of the urban design. So the site. In looking at the site, it's a single building. It's an island building surrounded by currently a sea of parking with two curb cuts. And in looking at that, I noticed that it did feel like there were some missing teeth in the project. The overall urban design. You have the multi-family existing five-level residential Capri to the right, as well, I guess we're looking at the plan now. And to the left, you have more development. And to the back, you have some development. But there's something obviously missing here. And what we want to do is pull those, I'm going to pull together that smile and complete that smile. So how do we do that? Well, we want to do it with very active ground level components, such as the retail that you see here. Have some anchor retail with a corner corner component, very transparent there, and as well as the other two retail components, roughly 2,000 square feet each, that are also intended to be very transparent and interactive with the sidewalk. And in the center of the project, you'll notice the lobby. That, too, is something very transparent. We want to really open up the project center to not only view, but to actually engage with the general public. The loading dock and the services that you see, we're internalizing those, and we've reduced the curb cuts to one and moved it to the center of the block. One thing to note, the roughly 58-foot datum in the upper right and the 32 datum in the lower left. It's quite a significant grade change in the project from the alley to Central Way. So what is the wow building up to it? It's, as I note here, a centralized hub, a connecting collection of connecting amenities at the ground level, helping spark activity at the sidewalk up through and to the roof. We're really committed in looking at the center of this project in having co-support spaces, not only for the residential people, but also for the general public. We want to bring that activity and up through the project and to the roof, as I have mentioned. We're also looking at authentic materials. We're looking at classic form and function expression, unexpected. We don't really want to, we want to stay away from the suburban look. We really want to pull into the urban look. So the massing. In each one of these massing solutions, we are going to want to have an underpin of that story. And in looking at the zoning envelope, what do we have? Well, the extruded zoning envelope, as you see here, has a restriction of a 20-foot setback from Central Way, as well as a 15-foot landscape buffer on the alley. There is no setback for 3rd Street. One thing to note is the dimension that's left once you put the 15 and the 20 onto the site from the north and the south. For 2/3 of the site, you have roughly a 65-foot building depth. And it makes it somewhat challenging to have more flexibility in the unit rentals. Massing option one, an extrusion of the site up to the 41-foot dimension of the height restriction. Nothing too fancy about it. It is pretty much pertains to code. We don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we wanted to just show what a pure zoning envelope responsive design solution would be. Option two. Option two is where we start to now have a little bit more modulation, a little bit more interest into the facade. We have some modulation on the alley side, starting to introduce that, breaking up the mass. And more importantly, now we're starting to build upon that hub idea, the center of the project, in which you see here is a shape in which is, I call it the Audi. It has, in that will be those support functions that we were talking about earlier in the WOW. But we want to focus more on the preferred option, option three. I call this one the any. And by doing that in the center, you can start to see more of the expression of the support amenity spaces that we want to have in the center of this project, in the hub. And also the having that more internalized as opposed to having it more prominent and sticking out on to the Central Way, I think it has more of an inviting massing appeal to it. Also, the alley, we've taken it a little bit step further and have more modulation going on the alley side as pertained to option two. And in option two and option one, as you'll note, we're looking at some support amenity on top of the roof. So how do we pull it all together? The mass and the story. I think the diagram that you see in the upper left, it does the best in explaining it. We're looking at two architectural types, A and B, typologies that come together on top of a base, a retail, very transparent base. And up through that center, called the hub there, those will, flanking that blue space, I call that interstitial space where the central stair will be will be living, supports all the other amenity program that we had talked about earlier. Up from the ground level up to the garden roof, as shown. In looking at the early sketches, the sketch just below that is one of the earlier sketches I had done just to show the transparency that we really wanted to have in the expression of the stair that's within the project. And you'll notice the architecture is just a little bit different on the flanking sides. The image at below that is a 3D model in which we start to build upon that idea, but now it's more of the any as opposed to the Audi, which was the sketch above. And looking at the deck, roof deck in the lower right-hand sketch is just trying to visualize the sort of activity that could happen on the roof. This is a more of a global look, well, I'd say a street-level look of the project. We're just starting to hint at some of the attitudes on the materials. We're not saying this is the solution, but we do want to just show that in this image, I'm trying to get the depth of architecture. I'm trying to get the texture of architecture, the shade, the shadow. Not looking to do a thin building. I want this building to feel solid and with depth, as I keep using that word. Some architectural inspiration. You see images here. I want to note the Hinbart Ballard Commons project on the mid-left that shows you some of the commitment they have to the ground level and the transparency that is similar to the project, what we're going to try and accomplish in our project. And the upper right shows the commitment also to the roof amenity, something that is, again, a trademark of Hinbart's projects. You can see in the middle the combination of textures slide. See, we're building upon the diversity or the duality of the two architectural typologies I had talked about earlier. Also, three slides on top show Hinbart's projects of 101 Broadway and the Ballard Commons of how they deal with the roof, as well as the lower right-hand image shows how Hinbart and team deal with the ground level, and the commitment to material and landscape and depth and interest. So that concludes the presentation. I just wanted to make a couple of notes that in every meeting that we've had with the client, the intent was to be very responsive to site, the residential user as well as the general public user. That has always been the summarization of the meetings and any of the workshops that we've done. And the conversation has always been around, let's provide places in which people can collide, engage, interact, and converse. And that is it.
All right, thank you. Questions from the board?
I have one. You spoke of environmental design objectives, and I read in here LEED Platinum, for instance. Can you say a little more about that and the experience your team has with that criteria?
With the LEED approach, that's our goal, our target mm-hmm. goal, and we've done LEED projects, of course, in the past. We're still trying to quantify what we can attain with all of the amenities that we want. You know, it's our goal to put into the project. So
has your team done LEED Platinum in the past, projects that have completed at that level?
The Ballard Commons project got LEED Platinum just last year.
Ballard Commons.
Thank you.
I noticed that you had noted somewhere that you were going to maintain a 10-foot wide sidewalk, you know, across the entire front length of the property. Is that a zoning requirement or just a kind of a target goal of your designs?
That was a response from the planning department in making sure that we did have a 10-foot goal.
All right. And roughly, just kind of thinking about that, you know, the front of the building, the pedestrian zone, what is roughly the dimensions that you're looking at in your preferred option, the size of kind of that public central plaza.
Let me look it up here.
Yeah, the area in front of the stair.
Just go back.
So you're talking about the area in front of the...
Right here.
Yes.
In front of that plaza.
It looks like roughly 30 foot wide, probably, by probably 15 plus, at least to that gray swatch right there,
mm-hmm.
which is an easement that we're giving away for the 10-foot sidewalk.
It's at least that, yeah.
They're asking for variances.
Yeah, actually, that's a great topic to jump into. Yeah, so what variances are you proposing or looking, you know, to get?
We're looking for variance on Central Way, the 20-foot setback requirement, as well as, well, the landscape buffer, as mentioned earlier, is a planning department decision, but also in the 41-foot height restriction or height regulation on the project.
Our goal is to activate as much of the site as possible. From the street level, we want to be able to have articulation in the facade enough where we can activate the architectural look of the facade. And not only that, but also we want to pay attention to the rear side, the alley side, and create more articulation along that facade so it doesn't appear like the back of the building, that we get more planting back there, that it's softer. You know, there's more green space. The vertical approach, vertical variance that we're asking for is to be able to activate the rooftop, to be able to get up to the roof and at least enjoy a planted green roof space, someplace where people can, you know, sit in lounge chairs and enjoy the view, whether it's you know, umbrellas or can't throw this. What's it?
Or trellis.
Or I'm trying to think of the chairs that have the little awnings over them. However, they want to be able to enjoy that view. We want to try and give as much of a softer appearance to the roof, not only for our project, but also for the our neighbors to the north. So they're not looking out at, you know, a TPO roof and machine equipment, you know, and ventilation.
So, do we have to give our feedback on this, or is this mm-hmm. something that staff decides?
So, the setbacks from Central Way, the upper story setbacks, that's something that you guys have the authority to to grant modifications to. The rooftop would be a staff decision, so that would be as part of their design response conference. They'll need to submit an application, and then the alley would be staff as well, because one of the key elements of the alley variance per se is the neighboring property owner has to sign off on it. So that's something that they'll have to approach the neighboring property owner about. So really, you guys are going to focus primarily on the Central Way upper story setbacks.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You can have as proposed there. Yeah, you can have an open deck, a rooftop deck, that kind of thing. Stairwell to get up into that area as part of the rooftop appurtenance. But as it stands right now, our code would not allow an enclosed, you know, amenity space.
So they could still have a rooftop deck,
mm-hmm.
but they couldn't have
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to look. I would think, yeah, arbor wouldn't be allowed. But we'll look at that as part of the design response application.
In our review of the Capri, the White Swan next mm-hmm. door, they did not get a rooftop because literally it was the guardrails exceeded the height limit, and that's considered the building element, not just
yeah. The well, parapet. They were able to actually on Capri, they were able to do some with the because you get additional 4 feet with the parapets, so they were able to incorporate the parapets to get in the end.
Do they have a roof deck?
They have
up
a
there?
They have a small rooftop deck up there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the. It's basically in the north, I guess, southeast corner of the site of okay. the building. So it's a small
they,
one.
I think Capri also, they were cutting costs. They didn't want to support up there.
Yeah.
Because their first plan came with a huge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there was some, you know, then it came up too that, let's say some of your features are above the height limit, so they had to cut it, they had to scale it back a little bit too, as well.
Okay.
So there is actually a height limit on any appurtenance that could stick up, period. I mean, it would require some kind of special approval even to have a small structure that you could stand up in.
Yeah, so anything above...
If it was over the 41 feet.
Yeah, anything above 4, I think it's 4 feet is
right.
is the, you know, we allow that. And then anything right. above 4 feet, you need the modification, rooftop appurtenance modification for.
Can we ask you guys on, just so that it's really clear, since the area that we are working on is Central Way, where are you and where are you going to be asking for the variance?
We'll be asking for some variance in this area right here, which is, you can't see it, can you? I can see it here. It disappears. It disappears as soon as I get to it. The long bar.
On the second story.
On the second floor, yeah, that goes across. That is within the 20-foot setback. The shapes that are angled in the center of the project, those are needing to have some approval for that. And I think for that, for right now, that's what we're looking at. I mean, we haven't completely done all the massing.
Can you put a number on that? I mean, we're entitled to make minor modifications or approval, minor changes. And I would measure that in terms of the volume that you're intruding from the 20-foot setback. And so at some point, I'd like to have a guideline. I mean, if you're using up 50% of the space, you know, one of the criteria is superior design, and et cetera, et cetera. But to put a number on things would be helpful for okay. us at some stage.
Sure. Absolutely.
Question.
Your preferred scheme has evolved a bit since our packet. Is that right? In terms of stepping back of the design.
It has evolved, yeah, in the progression of the, you know, the project. But as far as, are you talking about just the massing in general?
Yes. And I look here, I see the residential.
Yes, yes, I see, yes.
And then third story, so you're
yep, you're correct. You are correct.
So now you're only bringing the second story out, it looks like about.
I'm looking at about a 6-foot deck from that second, or I'm sorry, the third and the fourth floor. Okay. That's what I'm looking for. So I'm looking at about a 6-foot and a.
And then 20 feet back, the top two stories.
Yeah.
Except for the pieces.
Except for the pieces, yes.
Forms that are.
The amenity forms or the co-support forms that. Mm-hmm.
Which would not project as much. It's merely to give that slight relief to that facade as we get to the center hub. And with that center hub, we're trying to draw people up into the building to a roof terminus that allows people from the public, if there's an event, that the building opens up for public to be able to access that.
A question for the applicant. To the extent that that rooftop amenity, the large covered brow, if you will, and if all of that is not allowed by staff, is that kind of a showstopper? I mean, is that sort of really put a major crimp in the overall scheme? Or if it ends up with minimal little thing like Capri ended up with, is that still a goal that satisfies the overall approach?
Our goal is to be better than what Capri did. That's our goal. To what extent we are able to achieve that, we would love to be able to have very, very nice amenity up there that supports that roof deck, and are committed to do that if we get the approval.
Yeah, we are working very hard to maintain a very low floor-to-floor height, very minimal floor-to-floor height, and minimal structure in the building. We're looking at alternative construction methods.
Oh, so you could drop the building a little bit?
We're trying to keep it down as lean as possible.
So that would allow you to go up?
So we get a little bit more room at the top.
ABE calc, we call it, and you've labeled it the average project grade or whatever, was that calculated just with the least rectangle method, or how is, and it looks identical for all three, where sometimes there are variations depending on how it's calculated. Was that just with the simplest method? Or the
simplest method, just midpoint on the property lines.
Well, you have the advantage of actually going offsite, I believe, on the north when you do the least rectangle method, correct, Tony? Is that, which gets you a little higher on that alley, essentially, for mm-hmm. for the north midpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And even out into the street, if you do the south on for the least rectangle method?
There was a slight advantage to it, and we would likely take that into account.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just saying the code allows two methods to calculate it. Use the one that works best. Yeah. And just, I know, again, Capri got to take advantage of a really screwy zoning thing that allowed them to take their north midpoint way up on top of a berm that wasn't anywhere related to the rest of the property. If that exists here by going out into that alley and getting up to 56, 57, even 58 feet for your, the north midpoint number, you know, make sure and look at that.
Yeah. We were pretty close with the calculations as I ran them, given the grades that we were starting
okay.
with. Yeah. But thank you. That's I appreciate emphasizing that.
So the report suggests trying to save some of the big trees. Is that likely? I mean, it didn't look likely to me.
No. Yeah, it's not likely here, but in creating the articulation along the back where we are trying to create a 15-foot setback for the residential floors,
yeah.
we want to be able to plant that deck back there too. So they won't be trees that big, but okay. there will be some greenscape back there.
Us granting the minor variation for the setback on Central, the rationale or the justification for that is that I think it says something to the effect of that it results in a real superior design. What aspect of it is the superior design, or I'll look to the exact words. Superior design fulfills the policy basis for the applicable design regulations and design guidelines, and that the departure does not have a substantial detrimental effect on nearby properties and the city or the neighborhood. So what aspect is the superior design that
Well, what we've tried to do here, okay, that on the left bottom, you can kind of get a sense for the retail frontages we have with around the central hub entrance to the apartments. We wanted to be able to keep that, go down there. Very openable, very transparent retail frontages that would invite people in. In some instances, maybe a garage door type thing with open to sidewalk dining in the nicer weather. Lots of glazing. Really make it flexible for a wide variety of tenants to be able to come in and utilize those spaces for passersby in the park and people coming from the transit center. So we've tried to create a blank slate with regards to potential retail frontages and retail uses while maintaining the emphasis on the corner entrance for our anchor tenant for the space and really activating that whole sidewalk down to our vehicular entrance mid-block. Whereas now it's
part of it. But do those concepts depend on the setback, moving into the setback for the above levels?
I believe so. I believe that the project is pretty, the depth of the project is at 65 feet is challenging. And so we wanted to add that interest and break out of that 65 foot in special places. And so committing to that stair and that glazing and that sort of piece, we wanted to build upon that with these other elements. And so we were pushing out into that setback zone to add that interest. I don't think we were able to have that interest if we keep it back at that 65-foot line, which is basically where this glazing, that glazing line is.
You can't see it from here.
Well, the stair, the glazing is right in front of the stair. That is the 20-foot setback. Everything else that you see is coming out from that.
It makes it less viable for any substantial tenant to go in there and make it a workable retail space.
I have a couple quick last questions for me. The one of the sheets kind of had a leader with a bullet that talked about the west side of that ground floor as being a concrete backdrop for planting and sidewalk along Third Street. Is there any intention of that gets opened up at all, or I mean, I know it's right now it's a sidewalk with some scraggly weird trees that and it just drops off into the Wendy's parking, but when that property line wall comes in, is that truly just solid concrete with kind of a frame for plantings in front of it?
We just had this conversation last week. The idea, we were looking at that, and we have every opportunity to open up some clear story windows into the anchor retail beyond, because that currently is an 18-foot floor-to-floor. We're have a very substantial height for many sort of anchors that could come in there. And so, with that, we have obviously some height restriction complications with that, but it also gains us some opportunity to have some clear story windows on that north side. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, that west side.
Yeah. And I do recall reading somewhere it said that anchor retail might be a drugstore. Is that just words on the page, or is that actually
we something? We are currently working on what that actually will be.
Okay. And then my last question, the stated intent is for a very urban look. Do you consider Capri as a suburban look? Is it kind of contrasting, saying we're different than them because we're not Capri?
I feel as if our project will be very unique in its own right and will be different than how Capri presents itself. And I feel that is, feel pretty strongly that that's where this project should go.
Okay. Right, that's it for me, question-wise.
Anyone else? Yeah.
I have two simple ones. The it looks like we have a pretty pretty wide curb cut to accommodate your parking entry and your loading entry.
Yes.
Our goal is to keep that as snug as possible and also control the visual aspect into the receiving area.
Also, you know, maybe there'll be some opportunities to mitigate that long distance for pedestrians.
That's right. You know, with
a place to pause in the middle or something. And then on third, it looks like you have a pretty gracious right-of-way to work with. As you go up the hill there, is that, do you know how wide that is from property line to curb line?
That, I believe at the top, it's, if I recall right, it's about 14 feet at the top and it flares out at the bottom.
Okay. And will we maintain that curb line?
Yes. That's our goal.
Yep.
I just have a quick one. The height of the building?
Yeah.
I was just going to mention, there's parking or street light controls on that corner that we're currently going to be trying to move up and out of the way of the pedestrian area as well. And so when you go from about 14 feet down to about 16 or so, the trees kind of overcompensate into the parking lot now. So by moving those parking controls up and replanting that area, it's going to be a much nicer pedestrian walk there. So
it'll open up that whole corner.
Yeah. How it reacts to the pedestrians coming down the hill. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to engage people to coming down the hill and into the property of the development itself. Mm-hmm. So trying to balance that.
So the overall height of the building when it's finished, will you be higher than the residential buildings behind?
I don't
believe we will.
Pretty close.
It'll be close. But the bulk of where we're talking about going up above that height really occurs midpoint between the new residences and the large multifamily. And we're trying to keep that as small as possible. Mm-hmm. The profile of that in the east-west direction, trying to keep that as efficient as possible.
If this is true.
So it almost looks even.
Yeah, it looks like it's still higher because there's such a big step up at the alley.
It's, well, and it's hard to, I mean, just from a landscape standpoint, I will say that having a buffer down at the level it would end up being is really tough, mm-hmm. because it's on the shade side,
down
in a hole. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I would hope that actually staff would work with you on that one.
We're open to.
Because it seems like if you could get a little bit of height in there with soil height, then you could do something in the alley that might be beneficial, beneficial.
Understood. It's by the time you get midpoint, after the new alley grade comes up, everything is a little bit above the alley grade, mm-hmm. and that moving up to Third Street. And it's still a little bit above the floor, first residential floor level, still a little bit above the alley at that point. So, but yeah, we're open to looking at any sort of alternative there. We'd just like to be able to make it pleasing for the neighbors behind us and also the residences, so they have something to.
And it might, the volume that you're sort of intruding, I don't know if it's a net zero in the alley. It's probably not. You're probably intruding to the north. And the percentage of volume that you're intruding might be something that needs to be known when you're discussing it with the neighbors, et cetera, so
sure.
they understand.
Sure.
What the trade-off is.
Any other clarifying questions from the board?
I do on, you know, this is to staff. It's hard to give an okay on these variances without knowing more. So can we say you can proceed, but mm-hmm. we're not giving the okay at this point?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as part of the design response conference, that's, I mean, that's the key element would be for them to provide us an analysis of what they're requesting as far as modifications, you know, what are the trade-offs, how are they going to meet the superior design, and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think in concept, we can, you know, if you guys are agreeable, you can proceed to that, but then no way are we saying that you guys are approving the modifications. That's something that needs to occur as part of the design response.
Yeah, the modification they're requesting, it's in line with the previous modifications that the board has approved in the past, like Arete, I think Capri, couple on Kirkland Avenue. So we can bring back an analysis. So there'll be a request. We can bring back an analysis and a recommendation and some history as far as the precedents that we've set in the past. So that should help you in your review.
Yeah, those analyses in the past have typically talked about the volume intruded. And it
yes.
helps to put it in a perspective.
And it's appropriate to defer that to design response conference and
oh, yes.
have another conceptual conference or conceptual meeting?
Yeah, it's appropriate to bring back at the design response.
So we just offer general comments?
Yeah. If we don't have any other clarifying questions, now's a great time to ask anyone in the audience if they would like to speak to this project.
We do. Should we step up? Do I have to step up to the
oh, yes. Podium? Please step up to the podium and then state your name and address.
Bruce Yasutaki, and we're in a Terra right now, an apartment building, but we're purchasing the home on the southwest corner to the north of the lot, plat, that of the lot that's to the north of this proposed project. And, of course, we have a lot of interest in the buffer. What happens with the buffer? Love to keep the tall trees, but it sounds like that's not going to happen, so... Yeah, I just don't want to stare. I've walked back where Capri is, and, you know, elevations, everything's different in different locations. But from the alley, you know, that, you know, folks look right at the back of Capri, and it's just this, it's a bunch of apartments. So, yeah, Tony, talk to Tony, email with Tony, and plan on tracking things, and hopefully... there'll be some sort of buffer that's tall enough that it breaks up the back, the view to the south. And question two about it, and maybe it's a moot point just because of the heights being about the same of Central 6, our development, and the proposed project. But I don't know if there's a need for or a sense that there'd be a, I think it's called a sunlight or daylight analysis of some sort to get an idea of how much this project just sort of blots out all that sun you get from the south. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. It actually brings up a great point. All right. Seeing no other comments from the public, we can move into deliberations. And I'd like to pick up right where we left off. Aren't sunlight studies usually included in these packages?
Well,
we
have to request it, but we always seem to request it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My first question that I would like to raise to the board is, are we comfortable with the three massing options? They don't seem that different to me. That said, with a site of this size, I don't know how different three options could be, but I wanted to ask all of you how you feel with the three options that were presented.
Well, I think the point should be made that none of them are, well, as we saw them here, that the preferred change since our packet, but in our packet, none of them were code compliant options. The first one actually was, that second floor was not set back. And so, I don't want to belabor the point, but if that is one of the criteria, I don't think it was met.
No, I thought
I don't
want
to go back.
No, I thought massing option one was, at least in our packet, didn't have
it
any.
It said that it was, but I don't believe it was. So, but like I said, I don't want to go backwards, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, problem is that there's a level of residential above
yeah.
the retail there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
but I do feel like they've demonstrated, if we give them that point, and there is precedent for it along the street, I think they've demonstrated a progression, and I'm not sure with such a linear building you can do much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone else, you're okay with the three options?
Yep.
I think if it were a different situation,
yeah,
and a different lot, no, I would say we didn't get what we need to, and I've been a stickler for the three options.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very tough lot, and also there is precedent up, you know, Central and 85th
mm-hmm.
for very similar buildings.
Mm-hmm. All right.
To the extent that they're fairly limited where the vehicle entrance can be, I understand
yeah.
it off the alley really probably does not work. And if that entrance is shifted to the west, I'm sure Public Works is going to say, you know, you can't get anywhere close to the corner. So does it end up mid-building like Capri ended up? You know, so I think that limits our options. They really do need to enter at that east end.
Well, and I hate the way Capri.
I couldn't agree more.
We did belabor it a little bit, but there was no other option.
No, and it changed after we approved it. That entrance, the vehicle entrance, got modified where it was supposed to be. We were seeing sort of just single, very collected roll down, roll up doors, changed, and it got extra wide so that the ramping happened, you know, before you got down below. And that's why it's extra wide. It's, and Susan, your point of how wide is this? It looks extremely wide. I think it's as wide or wider than Capri is right now.
That's how they get their loading in.
Yeah. To the extent that the options are limited, I think we've seen three valid, you know, proposals in that respect.
All right. No, I just wanted to bring up the point, you know.
Yeah.
Anyone want to just jump in?
I'll jump in on a couple things. To get these variances, I realize this is extremely preliminary, but I don't see anything massively superior right now. And I think that the roof line has to really be broken up. It is a very long building. And my other comment from looking at the packet was the concrete wall going up third. This is a very visible corner in Kirkland, and so that would be one of my, okay, even if you put a window in it, that's a story and a half of concrete wall. when we were doing the building next door, their west wall we complained about, and you know, it, they said, oh well, then you know, the site next door will be developed and you won't see it, but it is a bad wall, and that was a mistake. We should have never allowed that. So I would say this, there will be no development. So that has to be as engaging as the front, because it's a corner.
Mm-hmm. Just a few comments. It's not an issue for us, but I think the 300-foot long wall with a kink in it in the alley, it's a big improvement to put some texture to vary it. And the third option has more than the second option. I think they both could be fine, but there's an option to make something that's pretty ugly, pretty attractive, I would think. And along Central Way, I can't really identify with the third option versus the second, particularly they both have a lot of breaking up in different surfaces, and one has more angles than the other, so I would need to see more, and I'm sort of caught up right now in just how much of a minor modification they're asking for, and as Scott said, you know, where is the superior design that's the trade-off?
I'm probably going to be okay with activating Central by giving some intrusions into that 20-foot setback there. I think we did it at Capri, we did it at Arete. I think it has to be done correctly, but I think it helps other than this just super deep 20-foot deck.
We have allowed it on every other building. So I just think that they need to make sure that this long of a building has to be modulated very well and articulated very well.
To the extent that that central transparent glassy thing was flanked by two different architectural types, if you will, I think can help to make it not look like a super long building. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes through. The one piece of the preferred option that I will just put my foot in and say no, and that's the northwest corner that would be directly impacting the gentleman that spoke, you know, there I strongly encourage staff to not allow that intrusion of enclosed, you know, building there. If it's needed to help the project work, move that further down the alley to where it's more central in the building and sort of hidden, if you will, rather than at that real prominent outside corner at the alley.
So
Yep, that framing element there, and the one, this one right, you know, there that shows up real prominently, you know. Isn't that it right there? Yeah. Just because it's a bookend, but I don't think it's needed. I think it hurts the overall, and it exacerbates that long west face that really needs to be addressed. I don't understand too that if there is no setback at all on the property line to the west, correct, for any of the floors, they can go straight up from property line at all levels, and it implies here that there's a bit of a deck or a which that'd be fine, but again I would strongly encourage staff to say no, that 15-foot buffer on the alley is really important at the corner, that particular corner. That's about all I have.
I'd probably say too on the roof, I mean, this is just to give staff some, you can do a great rooftop deck without being too invasive for height to neighbors. I've done rooftop decks for a lot of buildings, and you don't need a lot of extra height.
Okay.
few things. Probably don't want to repeat what others have said. I do want to say that I feel like the design aspirations are commendable, and some of the imagery that we're seeing hints at the direction that we're going on. And that's page 23 and 24 in our packet, where we actually look at seeing a design concept. I appreciate. I am a little concerned that the, this awesome concept diagram. How do you maintain this concept when you don't have that vertical element in the center? And so I'll look forward to seeing what comes of that. I actually maybe have a thought that's a little bit contrary to yours, Tim, about the northwest corner. I do feel that the west needs to be thoughtfully designed as it relates to Third Avenue, because I think there's an opportunity there for the sidewalk, the wide sidewalk, to come up that slope from the park intersection and be an asset. So I think that the building needs to respond to that above. I think that blank wall might be an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It should be an opportunity, not a detriment. So again, what comes out of that is something that we'll look forward to. Rather than pulling that corner back, I want to see that end modulated in response to the street. But I actually, if I was asking for the building to be carved away, I wondered if the center element could punch through to the north and allow light into the building for the neighbors from the north as well as from the south, so that there's a clear visual break or gasket in the building. And instead, at the center point, we have an Audi rather than an Innie. So I don't know. I think that could be an opportunity to break up that long form on both sides. Might be something to explore. And so north elevation, modulation and interest. West elevation, modulation and interest. Mitigate the drive entry and the curb cut width to make it as pedestrian safe and friendly as possible. And something that, if you don't know Kirkland, and we didn't hear much about it, but the park is a big deal, and it's a really important space for the city. It's important communal space. You may have baseballs in your windows. Who knows? Your kids are really strong. But I think you hinted at a response to the park, but I think that could be strengthened in the design, because it's also giving you this amazing south vantage. So I'd say try to make sure that you continue to push that.
Well, and on that line too, one of the things I thought when I looked at the packet is I appreciated the transparency, because that's what you see in the library directly across. So I would like to see it emulated as much as possible.
Frame that space.
And I definitely like the emphasis on the transparency of that ground floor, the retail, the lobby. Again, going back to Capri, that streetscape across there does not feel transparent and sort of open. Either we let the brick pilasters be way too wide, and then the storefront glass is really deeply recessed, and it does not feel
well. And part of with Capri too, we were sold kind of a package that it would be restaurants and it was going to be very engaging, and that retail didn't appear.
And the southeast corner of Capri that was going to be this really nice courtyard with seating and everything else has ended up just a nothing thing for a really awkward bank branch that just does not work. And I love the notion that the southwest corner of this, if it is a drugstore, if it's something else that's really nice and open and inviting and just says, this is an active corner of a major intersection, in Kirkland.
It lines for one more point I want to make. Corner. I think that, to me, this is a great start at a corner identity. It doesn't have arches, cupolas, clocks, anything. It's just, it seems to be part of your whole facade concept, and I appreciate that it's subtle and it's about openness and a strong corner and not trying to do something corner kitschy. So.
And it will improve the intersection because the other three corners are,
And we certainly look forward to any environmental building standards that can be used.
Definitely.
Well, you guys hit literally every single point I had. Again, I just want to reiterate, I like the urban feel and the design approach that the team is taking. I'm okay with all the variables that they're going for. I think that it improves the design, both rooftop and, you know, rather than going to a straight 20-foot setback, kind of staggering that. I think all of those are good things. But I don't think that they're giving us enough yet in terms of a public benefit to grant those variances. I want to grant them. I just think that, you know, the city and the public needs to be asking for something in return for those variances. I know maybe they do something more at the corner. Maybe they, you know, develop or add some seating or do something just outside the property line to help strengthen the corner some more. But right now we're just seeing a well-modulated building, which is required, and we would enforce that anyways. So I think that when the applicant comes back, you know, for further iterations, that they look at ways to really provide something to the public and enhance the pedestrian experience if they're going for those variances. But in general, I'm in favor of them. I think that they strengthen the design. And I think with that, maybe we can, talk about what they need, or is there anything we want to see? Shadow studies.
Studies, and you know, since we are dealing with a park, I think we should see perspectives from different vantage points in the park.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I harp on it every time. I'd love to see a live model that we can not see static images from, but just, and not photorealistic yet, just foam core, you know, SketchUp, Revit, whatever it's going to be, that we can say, stand here, look there. What does that gentleman see from his, you know, his deck, et cetera, those kind of things. And definitely a series of site sections through the alley, through the properties to the north, as the alley rises, what at each point through there, just accurate but not heavily, heavily detailed, just floors and that.
Yeah, so we see what kind of a canyon effect we might get
right
inside
discuss,
that alleyway.
Yeah.
I'd like to start seeing some indication and thought put into that pedestrian experience walking up Third. You know, I don't want it to be a concrete wall, and the longer we just let it sitting there blank, the more likely it is to just end up being a concrete wall. So I'd like to start early on in the process seeing some indication of thought going into that sidewalk kind of pedestrian experience. Does the applicant have any questions for us on how to move forward, or what we would like to see? Is there anything we can help clarify for you?
I don't think we do at this time.
There was a question asked earlier about whether or not losing that rooftop element would be a big deal. I'm sorry. Michael Medina, partner with Graphite. There was a question about whether or not if we lost that element at the top of the building, it would be a big deal. Frankly, it would, because what we're trying to do is create, we talk about energizing the building, that transparent element with the stair that goes up the center, it's important to have a there at the top of the building. Otherwise, there's no real reason to have it there. So, yeah, it would be
a big deal to not be able to do something very special at the top of the building. I just want to share that.
I would say with that, you know, staff is the one you've got to sell.
Yeah, we can't understand.
Well, yeah, and to be honest, I did talk to Eric Shields, and he did mention that we're in the process of doing some code amendments to allow more rooftop amenities. Mm-hmm. The problem is we're not sure on the timing of that, so we'll be able to probably get some more. My understanding was the initial timing would be like late summer, early fall for that, but we'll work on that more. So.
All right. Well, if the applicants are kind of clear on the direction they want to head in after the meeting, is there anything we need to do to continue, or they just schedule, you know, their next meeting whenever they're able?
Yeah, so they'll just apply whenever they're ready, and then
yeah. So, I mean, I think you're all agreeable that concept three is your preferred concept as well. And I think we've got the list of additional items that they need to bring back with the design response. So when they do that, then we'll schedule the hearing, or I'm sorry, the design response conference for the project.
So if it seems like there's a lot of variables for staff on this, because the back alley is... But I would say I would like to start to see if you do allow it or don't allow it, how are they going to address, you know, a very dark kind of canyon area?
Yeah. I think that's definitely something we'll work with the applicant on and figuring out the options. You know, the alley thing gets, again, a little tricky because one of the criteria is the neighboring property owner. So that will be something we'll have to work with them on. So.
Great.
To the extent that those residential properties to the north probably get to be closer to their property line, as, yes, it's detached, but they may be closer to the property line than this if we stuck to that strict 15-foot buffer requirement there, and it's just a very arbitrary this is a commercial building versus residential to the north, but in effect if they're this close to the residential property line, you know, this project theoretically could also use that as a justification for, you know, if it's correctly modulated and handled, you know, could they be as close as the stuff is to the other side of the alley? We have lots of other situations in single-family only zones where you literally pass the Grey Poupon to your neighbor because you're at 5 foot with a bay window and 5 feet with a bay window, and you can touch each other out of it. This is residential versus residential, different scale, but it still is something to consider in my mind.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, yeah. I don't think we need a motion or anything like that to continue. They just apply. When they're ready. So, all right. I guess the next item on the agenda is administrative reports. Yeah, or that's of which I don't think we have any. We already looked at all the draft minutes. So, final item is adjournment.
I've moved that we adjourn.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Meeting is adjourned.